Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
And I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, if we as a church were doing what God wanted us to do, we wouldn't have such opposition. Oh, the opposite is totally true. If you are living for God and you're doing what's right, you're going to be fighting demons and the devil every day for victory and for advancement and for the salvation of your household. It's not going to come easily. We stand on the Word of God. Occasionally, my wife and I will see a little glimmer. We'll see a little breakthrough. We'll see a little bit of something in our family where we can see that God is at work. But let me tell you, every day the devil wants to put a billboard in front of our eyes and show us everything that's coming apart. He wants us to hear every wicked, demonic thing that is said. He wants us to see everything that's out of order. He wants us to think about it. But let me tell you, we need to keep getting alone with God and saying, God, I'm just going to lay all of the stuff, all of the junk, all of the news that's false and wicked down at the cross, and I'm here for you to fill my hope back up and to stir up fresh faith in my life, because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Years ago, we had a little couple that came and sat in the front of the church. And they were probably in their mid-80s when I met them. They came in during that time when the charismatic renewal was going on. Some of you probably remember back in the late 70s and 80s. And there was Full Gospel Businessmen, and there was Women's Aglow. And I knew them, met them, they heard about us through Full Gospel Businessmen, as many of the churches, the Spirit-filled churches in town, were raised up during those days. Gustav and Susan were kind of quiet, but they loved God, and they believed the Word of God, and they believed that God had a plan for this end-time generation. In those days, we were looking for property, and we finally found a piece of property. It was $560,000. That's kind of crazy. That was 5 acres. We paid less than $400 for the big piece on a main road we now have. But $560,000, and there wasn't a bank anywhere that would talk to us. And so a pastor friend of mine said, Jonathan, why don't you do church bonds? Let the people of God invest into the kingdom of God. They'll get the interest. They'll tithe on the interest. And he said, the church will be blessed and you won't be supporting heathens. And so that sounded like a good plan. We went with that. We did a bond issue. And I remember saying to the pastor, it was Art Shell, I said, Pastor Shell, I don't think we have anyone in our church that has any money. He said, oh, he said, you don't need to worry about who has money, who doesn't have money. He said, did God call you to do this? I said, yes, Pastor Shell, he did. He said, well, if God called you to do it, then God knows where the money is. Let God take care of the money. He said, you just give an opportunity. And so that's what we did. We presented to the congregation, and a few dollars came in here, a couple dollars there. And, you know, the enemy was saying, oh, this isn't going to work. We needed $560,000 for the building, for the property. We needed a minimum of $300,000 to build that first building. And we were going to do the work ourselves, and it was still going to be $300,000. And so I remember at that time just crying out to God and saying, God, if you called us and we have this contract and we had to come up with X amount of dollars to cover the contract, how is this going to happen? And one day, Gustav Gussel called the office, and he said, I want to talk to Pastor. He came walking in. He came in with a handmade wooden attaché. I'd never seen one. It was handmade. It looked like the kind of work you'd see maybe for a clockmaker, if you've ever seen the wood gears and all the intricate stuff. It looked like something like that. He came into my office and opened up his briefcase, and he said, Pastor, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but he said, God put on my heart that He is going to have a work in Stuart, and He wants my wife and I to sow into that work. He took out a check. It was a $30,000 check, and he bought $30,000 in bonds. And that morning, it was all I could do to stay on the floor. And God said, "See, now you would have never thought that Gustav had a nickel." I didn't know what he had. I didn't know that he had traveled the Orient, that he had sold watches, bought watches. He sold jewelry, bought jewelry, had traveled. That was his career. That was his life. I knew nothing really about Gustav prior to that time. He would become a very dear friend. Gustav has been with Jesus for quite a while. Susan prayed for her family. She had a son. And her son, I haven't had contact with him in some time, but Susan prayed for her son to be saved. Well, Gustav went to be with the Lord. I remember the day I'm riding in the hearse. I'm with the son-in-law, and I'm riding with him, and he has glasses on, dark glasses, and he turns to me, looks at me in the face, and he said, "Pastor, do you know why I'm wearing glasses?" And he didn't let me answer. He immediately answered his own question. He said, "I don't wear glasses because I'm emotional about the death of my father-in-law." He said, "I wear glasses to hide the fact that I have no emotion in my life at all." He said, "My heart is so hard." He said, "I'm a police officer, I believe, from New York City." He said, if it's ever happened, I've seen it. He said, "Blood doesn't move me. Death doesn't move me. Any suicide doesn't move me. There's nothing that touches my heart. I'm as hard as a block of ice." That was the son-in-law. Gustav had said, "I want to plant a seed into a ministry that God's going to raise up." He had no idea that we would be on the property for 18 years. He never made it to that building, the first building, never made it there. But he believed, he hoped, he had active faith. Well, now Gustav is dead. Susan is still praying for her son, who has a heart like a block of ice. Well, I went to see Susan regularly. She was in a nursing home. Susan had been Gustav's princess. She always had a big, huge gold something with a bunch of diamonds on it that she wore. He decked her out like the Queen of Sheba. That was Gustav's wife. And so she's now in the nursing home. At first I saw the rings coming off the fingers. They're gone. Yes, the son's collecting the jewelry. Then this disappeared. And then she'd be down to a little small TV sitting on the dresser. That's all she had left. Her son had taken everything. Next word I would hear from her son was that he had taken all the money out of the estate. She's now in what I would call a red light district nursing home. You walked in, you smelled urine when you came through the door. It was a place I would not want my dog to sleep in. That's where Susan was. But you know what? Susan, even as her mind drifted, Susan continued to pray for her son. Never stopped praying for her son. Eventually, to save money, a place was found in the north that was closer to his house. The assumption was, or the word was, so he could have a closer look on his mom. But he never had interest in his mom that I saw. And then I heard of Susan's death. And then I got a phone call. Because remember, Gustav had invested $30,000 in church bonds to build the church. They would come due on a certain date, but you couldn't just walk in and demand them. He's now calling. He wants more money. He's wanting to go to Alaska. And he wants the money. He called me a cheat, a thief. He called me all kinds of things. And I said, "You know, I'm sorry, but your father-in-law made this decision while he was living to invest into this church. And that investment is going to be in the kingdom, and you can't change that." He was angry. He was angry. But remember, Mom prayed for him right up to the end of her life right now. Now Mom is with the Lord. A few years go by. One day I get a call in the office. I don't know who answered the call, honey. You may have. But his first name was Rudy. Rudy called. And Rudy said, I've got to talk to the pastor. I'm just telling you, don't let your hope die. Don't let your hope in God die. Stir up your faith. Stir up your faith. Rudy says, you haven't heard from me in a long time, have you? No. He said, well, I have to tell you what happened to me last night. He said, as you know, I've ran from God for years. Mom's prayed for me. And I have done anything and everything I wanted to do. And I've had no interest whatsoever in the will of God or the work of God. He said, it seemed like everything was going well. I went to Alaska. I blew all of the money. And I'm back home again. But he said, I had a massive heart attack. My heart blew up. I have been in this hospital living on a machine. I was told there was no hope for me, that I definitely was dying. But he said, something happened last night, Pastor. I've got to tell you. Mama prayed. He said, last night, Jesus came to my hospital room. And he woke me up. And he said, Rudy, you have one more chance. I'm giving you one more chance. Rudy said to me, he's crying on the phone. He said, Pastor, I was ready. I was ready. He said, I said, yes, I believe I'm a sinner. He cried out to God, surrendered his life, was born again in that moment. He said, I didn't even have to ask for a new heart. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new spiritual heart, and I'm giving you a new physical heart. He said, Pastor, they're letting me out of the hospital because my heart is perfect and I'm going home. And I had to call you because you're the only one I know that knew that Mom had prayed for me and knew how far I'd gone away from God. We're going to break bread this morning. God wants you as his people and me as his people to not lose hope and not lose faith in these days that we're living in. You have a son, you have a daughter, a brother, sister, mom, dad. They're hard, they're callous. They won't listen to anything. They could care less what's going on. Don't lose hope in God. Let the Holy Spirit stir up your faith. And remember that faith in God moves the mountains. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This week, as you're having your quiet times with God, I would encourage you to remember the God incidents in your life. I was just reminded again this morning to think about this, to think about it. And some years ago in one of the journals, I started writing down the stories. Our John, I think he's 98, he's not here this morning, but he gave me a book about all the different times he almost died. I guess you got that too, Bob. Near death, how many times? And I was looking at that little book, and he just wrote down the little synopsis, like a maybe a 3-minute story of how many times in his life he could have and perhaps should have died, but he didn't. And he put that little book together. And maybe he didn't even understand the importance of it. But as I looked at it, it reminded me that the mercy of God and the grace of God has followed all of us from the time we were conceived in the womb. My wife was telling me something this morning. Tell the story about the gentleman whose mama came up on stage during the Christian Awards. She was just telling me this morning.
I was watching the K-Love Awards yesterday.
K-Love is the Christian Music Awards.
Yeah. And the song Praise, you're talking about. And so Brandon Lake, I'm sure you've probably heard of him. He does a lot of beautiful songs and got a husky kind of voice. And it just makes you stop and take notice. Well, he won an award, and his mom was in the congregation, his wife and his two boys. One boy was asleep, And so he brought his mom and his oldest son up onto the thing where he won the award. And he said, I have to explain something to you. He said, my mom had 5 miscarriages, one right after the other. He said, and then finally, she had me. And he said, now don't take me wrong when I tell you that that's special, that I'm special. And his mother goes, oh, you are, you know. But after all that, he said she never quit praying. She never lost hope. She just kept asking God, you know, and then she would lose another child, and she would ask God, and then she'd lose another child. So 5 to get to him. And yeah. And how special his mother was to him, and how special she said he was to her, and what God had done for them. Amen.
5 miscarriages, that's hanging on, isn't it? And believing God, that God has more. And that's a word that just keeps popping up, that God always has more for us. And we were in our first building, it's been years ago. Lady, I'm sure she meant well, but she came up to me following the service. We had Andrew, and she said, Pastor, you need to just accept your son's condition as he is. Look how long it's been. And it was like a dagger to my heart. And I said, ma'am, I will never accept my son's condition until it is the fullness of God's promise to me. If God has done everything that God is able to do and my son is in glory, then I'll accept it and say praise God, but I'll never stop believing for more.
Amen.
And then I asked her this question. I said, ma'am, when you come and I pray for your family, are you expecting God to do something? Are you wanting me to pray in faith, or why do you come? Do you want me to say, just accept it as it is? Sometimes we don't understand how the enemy has eroded our faith to where we've negotiated with fear, and we've accepted a level of fear as being our future. But I want to challenge you to challenge every doubt with the authority of the Word of God and with the love of God, and stand on the Word of God. All things are possible with God. That's in His Word and in His will and in His time. And all things are possible with the people of God if it's in His Word, in His will, in His time. Don't be weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. Michael the other day said, kind of seems like a long time, you know, it's been 5 years, right, Michael? You're talking about 5 years. But then he goes, but wait a minute, a lot's happened in the last 5 years. So let me tell you, the time you spend trusting God is not wasted time. Whether it's an hour, whether it's a day, whether it's a month, you're praying for your daughter, you're praying for your son, you're believing God. If it's a year, if it's 5 years, if it's 10 years, any time you spend trusting God is not wasted time. Because what God is able to do when He does it, it's eternal and it lasts forever, and it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, the Word of God instructs us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For this is what the Lord Himself said. If you're watching this morning, feel free to go get some grape juice or whatever you have for juice. Get some bread, crackers, whatever you have. We're going to break bread together. And we're going to celebrate the fact that the enemy's defeated. The enemy's defeated. And I want you to encourage yourself. And Even if you don't feel like being encouraged, encourage yourself and mess the devil's day up by declaring that my God is faithful regardless. For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup, it's a new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup," every time. Why do we take communion every week? Because we're remembering the Lord. And every time you do this, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. And what is that announcement? That he's victorious over death, over Satan, over sin, over sickness, over disease, over death. He's victorious, and he is in you, and you are in him, and you are victorious, and he's coming again soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if someone is here or someone is watching that has not received the gift of eternal life, first I want to just let you know that God is here to redeem and save. Maybe you have a story that you could compare notes with a Michael this morning, or some of the rest of us. Maybe the devil's told you that you went too far, that you have doubted too much, that you've had too many questions, or maybe you've just been stinking religious, and you've been so full of religion, you've never really had time for God to be Lord of your life. But whatever the case, God so loved that you might have eternal life this morning. If you'll believe in your heart, you'll surrender your life, confess your sins, turn your life over to God, have a turnaround in your life, God will listen and God will save you and God will forgive you of all unrighteousness. And so if you have not received the gift of eternal life, why not right now? Just say a prayer right now in your heart. Maybe you're in a place where you're going to do it silent, but it'll come out. Maybe you're in a place where you can just say it out loud. And if you are, you can say that. "Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, I surrender my life to you to follow you. Fill me with the wonderful Holy Spirit of God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, lead and guide my life in Jesus' name." Well, we do that because this is a family meal. Those who are not in the family are not to partake of this meal, celebrating the death and resurrection, the return of the Lord. This is for the family. And so we lift up the bread and we thank you for the body of Christ. Yes, that he came in the flesh for us to experience what we experienced, but also for we who are his body today on the earth. Thank you, Father. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of life. We receive in faith and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Let's receive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. All the sacrifices could not change a heart, but all of the darkness of hell cannot keep the power of the blood of Jesus from setting us free. And who the Son sets free, yes, is free indeed. Father, thank you for the blood. We bless it and we receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Let's receive. Hallelujah. God be the glory.
And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he
And I'll let my wife lead it because she must know the words.
Be the glory to God. Be the glory to God. Be the glory for the things He has done.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
You say you used to have a dream, but it is no more. What's on your mind night and day? But what for? With time and circumstance, the dream is beginning to fade. You think you're growing too old to have any word. You held the vision of a call since your birth, but it's impossible because of the mistakes you made. Oh.
It's a brand new season. Do what is right with what's left. Release the gift He's given you.
Only you and no one else.
It's a brand new morning. Do what is right with what's left.
The cry of the heart, the purpose of God to fulfill. You say you don't know the way, but the path is in you. There's direction in your heart you have to get to. If you be real with yourself, you know the way. Yes, you do. Don't let another change your mind or get in the way. Don't be distracted by their acts or what they say. Focus on what the Father has already said. This is your moment in time, so shine like a star. Take a stand in Christ and be who you are. The gift you have is for the world and not yourself.
Do what's right with what's left.
Whoa.
Release the gift He's given you.
Only you and no one else.
It's a brand new morning.
New morning.
Do what is right with what's left.